Please stand and join me in the call of worship. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Please join us in hymn 302, Christ the Lord is risen today. Please join me in the unison prayer for Easter Day. Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that we who celebrate the day of the Lord's resurrection may, by the renewing of your Spirit, arise from the death of sin to the life of righteousness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading this morning will be from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Then Peter replied, "I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross. Then God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us, whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name." Now, if the children will come and join Miss Sherry for a children's sermon.
Good morning, everybody. And if you do want to join me, you can come down. But we can't sit on top of each other. We're going to have to spread out a little bit. And if you want to sit down, you're more than welcome to come down and see us. Good. We have a good little crowd. And those of you that stayed in your seats, you can shout out answers if you feel comfortable doing that. Okay, so happy, happy Easter. I am so excited to be here today. Easter is one of my favorite times of the year. I get to get a basket. I get to open Easter egg hunts. Did y'all get to do that yesterday? Did you come to Asbury's? Was it a lot of fun? Yay, Ira's saying yes, Hallie's saying yes. It was so much fun, and I bet you got to open up the Easter eggs, and did you get prizes and candy in them? Oh my goodness, and then you got to take a picture with the Easter bunny? Was there an Easter bunny here? Oh my gosh, so exciting. And then there's chocolate bunnies, and there's chocolate, and there's so many good things, and there's a stuffed animal in our basket. It's just great. And then we all get to wear our pretty new clothes, and Asbury, I will say, we are looking mighty fine today. It's just so exciting, but I guess I need to slow down because I get really excited about Easter and I forget that we just kind of need to slow down and take a minute so that we can kind of talk about what Easter means. Now, what do you think the best part of Easter is? The Easter bunny. Is that the best part about Easter? Ira, do you have a favorite part about Easter? Easter egg hunting. So Ira must have had a really good time yesterday. Now, I brought my basket, and I thought we could kind of see what's in this basket to maybe help us know what's so important about Easter and why we celebrate. Let's see. I got an Easter bunny, this cute little stuffed bunny that is soft and cuddly, and I'm sure that a lot of you probably got these in your baskets, or a lamb or some other animal or some little stuffed cuddly thing. Who knows? Some of you may not have even seen your baskets yet, because I know my child has not. But as we're trying to race and get ready for church this morning, but we've got a cuddly little Easter bunny. And then I've got an egg in my basket. And in this egg, let's see if there's some candy or prize in there. That's disappointing. Hadley, how did you know? There's nothing in my egg. Nothing. It was empty. Yeah, Hadley's been here a long day. She was here at 8:45. Okay, so, and then what about chocolate candy? That's pretty exciting. Does that kind of have anything to do with Easter? Ira? What? He didn't put candy. Shame on you. No candy in Ira's eggs. All Dad's fault. Well, the other thing that I have in my basket is a little different. I have this cloth in my basket. Why do we think there might be a cloth in my basket for Easter? Our Asbury kids are so smart. They wrap Jesus in a cloth. And she did know this at 8:45, so it's not a repeat. So she did know. So we've got this great Easter basket, but, and we've also done some fun things, but I think there's just a little bit more to it. This is kind of interesting because there were things like eggs and bunnies and little baby chickens running around, and that kind of symbolized something new, like new life. And long ago, people were excited about that. They were excited when the long winters were over and we had a new life was coming. And the sunrise, that beautiful sunrise that happened, it's kind of a symbol of hope. It's like a new day is coming. Well, we celebrate on Easter at church as rising of a new sun, our Lord Jesus Christ, right? That was pretty exciting to see of a new sun rising. So we're celebrating the resurrection. And he died on the cross even though he did nothing wrong. So why did he die? He was taking punishment for our what? Very good, for our sins. And on that day, there was a, he was laid in a tomb, right? And what was put in front of that tomb?
A boulder.
You're right, a big old heavy stone. Well, guess what? That morning, real early, the men went down because they just didn't kind of believe what had happened. That's, maybe it was a big nightmare that happened on Friday. And so they went down, and guess what? You know what happened? Was the stone there? The stone was gone, and Jesus was gone, right? And all that was left was the cloth that Jesus' body was wrapped in. Pretty interesting, huh? Now, an empty Easter egg might be disappointing, but an empty tomb is amazing. And an angel had appeared, and there were three women who were down. And they had gone to see, because they just kind of didn't believe it. And sure enough, the stone had been rolled away. They were so excited that they ran all the way back to town to tell everybody about it. And they were talking so fast that no one could believe them. They just couldn't understand them. And how would that be if we got that excited about Jesus? If we were that excited to share the good news on Easter morning? You know, that is one of our holidays that we have Christmas. And I think Easter sometimes is a little even better than Christmas because Christmas, he was born, but then he lived, and then he died, and he rose again. So it's very exciting. So what if we were on Easter morning, as we're so excited, ready to open our baskets, get to church, put on our finest, eat our breakfast, and get to church, if we could share that good news about Easter to everybody? It's not just one day. It's every day. Okay? So let's bow our heads and say a quick prayer. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for your love. We have the hope of Easter. Help us shape that with others. Thank you for your son, Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Miss Sherry, for a wonderful children's lesson for this morning. That's apropos for all of us children, no matter what age we are. It's so good to see all of you in worship today, and now to be able to join our hearts and our minds in our morning prayer together. So let us pray. With joy, we pray for all Christians who assemble today around the empty tomb. Help us to see you, O God, in those we do not expect to encounter, and remove all fear from our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. With humility, we pray for this planet, our home. Heal what we have scarred and broken. Renew the face of all creation from north to south, from east to west, so that your creation may speak to us of your goodness and your love. Lord, in your mercy. With hope and love, we pray for the nations of the world, especially those places overwhelmed by war and conflict. Bless peacemakers who work to bring justice to their countries, cities, villages, and households. Lord, in your mercy. With compassion, wipe away the tears of all who weep. Give us the tools we need to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and comfort those who are in any trouble. Above all, give us the spiritual love that we would be willing to go out and meet the needs of those around us, watching over the vulnerable and the sick. Lord, in your mercy, hear now the prayers of this assembly, spoken aloud or in silence. Lord, in your mercy, we remember those with great joy who saw our risen Lord and witnessed to his resurrection so that we might have faith. May their words and deeds inspire us to sing our Alleluia again and again, passing from darkness to light, from bondage to freedom, from death to new life. We commend to you, gracious and ever-living God, all for which we pray. Lord, in your mercy. And now let us continue to pray by offering together the words our Lord taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, my friends, hear this reading from John's Gospel, one of the earliest testimonies to the resurrection. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, and while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, they asked, why are you crying? Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they have laid him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, said Jesus. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Then she gave him his message. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as near as I can tell, it must have been about 4 o'clock in the morning when Mary went to the tomb. You know, 4 o'clock in the morning. That awful hour when you give up and start your day on a sleepless night. It really is too early to get up, but on the other hand, it's too late to go to sleep. 4 o'clock in the morning. That's when Mary got up, changed into her tunic, slipped her feet into her sandals, and headed toward the tomb. It was dark, very dark. And it was cold too. Or was it just that her fear and her grief made it seem that way? At 4 o'clock in the morning, it isn't hard to conjure up things to worry about. In that kind of dark, fear takes on the shape of whatever has been niggling at us during the day. Mary had watched Jesus die. She had been one who had stayed until the bitter end, The pain, the agony, the love were all shadows accompanying her on her walk to the tomb. She had to go. She had to sit with his body for just a while to see him, to take in that he was really gone, to lay her hands on that shrouded body and to say goodbye. But as she came closer to the tomb, she thought it looked strange. Even in the darkness, it seemed as if perhaps the stone had been moved. So she picked up her pace. She even began to run. Surely not, surely not. After so much pain and humiliation and suffering, surely they would let him rest in peace. But the closer she got, the more sure she was, the tomb was open and his body was not there. Without thinking, tears streaming down her face, she half stumbled and half ran to where Peter was staying. It was still dark. It was still night, and Peter was sleeping, but her cries woke him up. And he and the other disciple ran back to the tomb with her. Peter actually stooped and went inside. And sure enough, the body was gone. The grave clothes oddly, neatly folded. Jesus was not there. And so as the first light of dawn began to creep into the darkness, Peter and the other disciple made their way back home. Confused? And Mary stayed where she was. She refused to leave the body of Jesus, even though she did not know where it was. She stayed there, weeping, rehearsing every detail of the last few days, going over and over and over it in her mind, even as it became a little lighter. At some point, she looked back inside the tomb, maybe just to make sure again that it wasn't all a bad dream. And there were two angels who asked her why she was crying. Really? Mary had always thought that angels were brighter than that. But she told them anyway, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have put him." Before she could really, really take in the fact that she was having a conversation with heavenly beings, she noticed out of the corner of her eye that someone was walking toward her from the other direction. A man, a stranger, someone else who was going to ask her what she was crying about. Mary begged him to help her. You see, all she wanted was Jesus' body back. And then the man said, "Mary, just that, Mary, Rabboni," she answered, "teacher." And about that time, the sun rose, and Mary melted into Jesus, weeping and laughing and holding on for dear life. "You cannot hold me," Jesus said. But go and tell my brothers that I am ascending to my Father and your Father. And as near as I can tell, Mary did just that, nearly dancing her way back to Peter's house. A rhythmic dance had replaced the stumbling, and tears of joy had replaced the grief, and the light of day had fully dawned, and it was warm and right. From dark to light, from grief to joy, from lost to found, from fear to hope, from weeping to witness, Mary saw the Lord. She held him. She spoke to him. She was sent by him and empowered to witness and speak in his name. Now, my friends, there is nothing simple about Easter. Nothing can explain the resurrection. It is, as Will Willimon said, a thick mystery. No proof of it can be offered for the skeptic, except for Mary. And then Peter. And that disciple whom Jesus loved. And then Paul and Barnabas and Timothy and Phoebe and the martyrs who came after them. And then there was John Wesley and Harriet Tubman, Fanny Crosby, E. Stanley Jones, Martin Luther King Jr., Oscar Romero, and you, and me, and all the faithful, both known and unknown to us. Easter is when our 4 a.m. crises bring an opportunity for a new day to bloom in our lives. When we are healed from illness or of mind or body, that is resurrection. When we can testify without shame that we have spoken to angels or that we have grabbed hold of the hand of Jesus Christ and let him pull us up out of the quicksand of our own making, that is resurrection. Any who have been lost and found can witness to the resurrection in our lives. And still the good news of Easter can be a way for those who are lost to find their way home. Easter is like a birthday. The day that we testify that Jesus lives, that death does not have the last word, that darkness will never smother the light, and our precious tears will be the water that brings new life to full bloom in us. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. Raise your hands in thanksgiving if you have seen the Lord. And shout hallelujah. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have seen the Lord. Even all of us gathered here in this place, or those who have joined us virtually, we have seen the Lord. Look at you, still with a mask, but death, not even pandemic. Not even pandemic will have the last word. It's Easter morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you please stand and join Amy as we affirm our faith?
This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to Peter's faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. Please turn in your hymnals to hymn number 327.
I would remind you to be seated and for the postlude, and the ushers will come and dismiss us row by row. This will help us to maintain social distancing and safety even as we exit the building. Go forth from here, renewed and strong, knowing the Lord is alive, almighty, and present. Look for the blessings that await you. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who celebrate. Tell the story of hope. May the truth of the empty tomb, the astonishing reality of Jesus' resurrection, keep us fearless and sure that we will see the resurrected one. And may the power of God's endless love surround and guide you this day and always. Amen. You may be seated.